beautiful, beautiful turnout. So many tzaddikim and tzaddikot. You took time out of your evening, you know, on a Monday night to come and learn when you could be doing anything else. I just want to say 2 minutes of a little pshat that I learned in the Gemara. So in Gemara Avodah Zarah, it talks about how all the powerful, powerful kingdoms are going to come before God. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Persian Empire. And they're going to come and Hashem is going to be ready to judge them. And they're going to come and they're going to state their case. And you might ask, why is Hashem even giving them a chance? These people, all they did is live and breathe Avodah Zarah. All they wanted to do was go to the Colosseum and see blood and violence. So it says that there's a reason for it. He allows every single empire to come individually, one at a time. And he wants to show that he is the most merciful. It doesn't matter what you did in your life. It doesn't matter who you were. It doesn't matter where you're at, because you have a chance to become great. And what can we learn from this? We can learn that if Hashem is doing this for literally, you know, empires that they have nothing to do with Him, they don't have a care in the world for Hashem, what does it mean for His children? You should believe in yourselves that if Hashem is your Father, believe that no matter what you do, if you try, put an effort. It's not about, in this generation, it's not about, you know, push, push, push. It's about just giving even the smallest effort, because once you give the smallest effort, you're going to give a little more, and you're going to give a little more to Hashem. And in this way, when you stand before Hashem, even the smallest case that you bring to Him, Hashem's going to look at it and be like, this is my child. This is not just, you know, anybody. This is a Jew that I created in this world. And that's what you all are. You're all Hashem's creation. And Hashem loves every single one of you so much for coming here tonight. And I want to thank all of you.
Can you hear me?
Okay, so this class is going to be, if anyone has any dedications, you could, I guess, whisper it to yourself, or if you want me to announce it, we could do that. So this class is going to be for the learning and success in Israel for Ronit Orli Bat Nurit, for the Refuah Shlema of Oz Ben Minchal, Rosette Bat Sulika, Ronen Ben Rachel, Bash Ben Orli, Leilu Nishma, Daniel Mordechai Ben Regina, Shaul Aryeh Ben Simcha, Ronen Ben Rachel, Esther Titi Bat Rina. Okay, everyone, I'm so excited right now. It's so such a schut for everyone to be here. Baruch Hashem. You guys hear me when I keep it closer? It's fine like this? Yeah? Closer? Okay. So being that we have such a big, beautiful crowd and a lot of new faces, we're going to give a quick intro from the first class, and we're going to try to catch everybody up to what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish, and what we're trying to build, Bezrat Hashem. So the whole idea behind creating this class was to create a warm environment for everyone to come as themselves and to come and to grow and to learn Torah. As the Pasuk says, Baruch Kevod Adonai Mi Mekomo. You come, you praise God, you get closer to Him from the place that you're at. So despite the ideas we might have in our heads sometimes and whatever else it may be, we're here to really come closer to Hashem, to get closer to Him and to love Him, and to open him up the opening of a needle, so we can, Bezrat Hashem, have a lot of mitzvot in our lives to live happy, meaningful, fulfilling lives. Now, I'm going to open with what I opened with the first time. There's a sefer called Mesilat Yesharim, written by the Ramchal, who used to study with angels, which is the most powerful Musar book of all time. There's a question in the first page. It says, Ma tachbulotav shel adam? What is the purpose of a person in this world? Why did Hashem create this entire universe? Why did He create Miami and South Beach and New York and everything in between and the whole entire world and modern technology and innovations? What's the purpose of this creation? Le'enot miziva shechina, as it says a couple lines later, to come and to derive benefit from the divine light. Now, how do we achieve this light? In order to achieve this light, we have to learn Torah. Now, the word Torah in Hebrew, spelled like this. Taf, Vav, Resh, Hey. Now, the shorish of the word Torah, if you bring it down, the root of the word Torah is Hora'ah. Instructions. So, basically, Hashem created an instruction manual from the beginning of time in order to show us what we have to do in this world.
So if a person wants to be happy, it's in the Torah. Person wants to find their soulmate, it's in the Torah. Person wants to overcome depression, anxiety, worries, fear, etc., everything in between, overcome a difficult time period, even to just feel joy in the middle of their day, it's in the Torah. I'm also encouraging questions, by the way, in the middle of the class. If anybody gets stuck or wants to ask something, I'm encouraging difficult questions, easy questions, hard questions, everything in between. So, from the beginning of the world, Hashem created the world for the purpose to get to Olam Haba. Now, we can get this Olam Haba, this loving feeling and this immense pleasure in this world too. How? By studying the Torah, which comes from the word Hora'ah, instructions. Now, to catch everybody up on what's going on currently, this week's parasha is Parashat Vayechi. Next week's parasha is Parashat Shemot. We're going to go into Egypt. And Egypt in Hebrew is Mitzrayim. Hold on. This is how you spell the word Mitzrayim. Now if you notice, the first mem is open and the last one is closed. This is called a mem patach, an open mem, and this is called a mem sagur, a closed mem. Now you learn from this that mem stands for ma'amar, to speak. So we're learning here that sometimes in life a person needs to open his mouth, and sometimes in life a person needs to be quiet. As it says in Masechet Psachim, Shtika yafa lachachamim, kavachomer latipshim. It's a good thing for a person to be quiet when he doesn't know what to say. Kavachomer for a person who's a tipesh. So in life, we have to understand when to open our mouth and when to listen. Now, if you notice, this chidush is teaching us not to talk in shul. How? Because you have in the middle of the word Mitzrayim, the word Yetzer. You have Yud, Tzadik, and Resh. Showing you that anybody who speaks in shul when they shouldn't be speaking is a victim of the Yetzirah. Now, Yetzirah is basically Hashem created Yetzirah and Yetzirah Tov. He created the good voice inside of us and He created the evil voice inside of us, the inclination towards bad. Why did Hashem create the world this way? In order for Hashem to give us reward, we have to work for it. And that's going to be the topic of tonight's class. Why do difficult times exist? How to ride the difficult times through? And how to eventually come out and to find the light? As we see when Hashem created the world, He said Vahi Erev and then Vahi Boker. He started with darkness. Yeah.
Why is that relevant to speaking in shul?
Because when a person speaks in shul and they come to shul to pray, when you speak, you're basically disrupting all the tefillah. And many rabbis will tell you it's even better to stay home. It's very important that when we come to shul, we shouldn't speak. And actually, this goes a lot further. If you pay attention on shul, on Mondays and Thursdays on Shabbat, we open up the Hechal, we take out the Sefer Torah, we bring it to the center, then we do Hagbah, we show everybody what's going on, and then we read the Torah. That's an exact reenactment of what happened at Har Sinai. There's a skula that if you know a person that's sick in your family or someone that you know, and you want them to get refuah shlema, to stay quiet in shul, specifically during the time of Kriyat HaTorah, because when Hashem and Moshe were announcing the Luchot and the commandments to all of Am Yisrael, and it was really a public testimony to the entire world, everybody got a complete refuah shlema. How is this relevant to speaking in shul? Because it shows you when to speak and when not to speak. And when you're in shul, it's a time not to speak. So that's just a little bit intro about why it's very important for us to learn Torah, why we have to have Hashem in our lives, and of course not to speak in shul, and what's going on currently with the parasha and what's going on with the current time in our history. Now, I was preparing tonight's class, and Baruch Hashem, you know, everyone in this room, I'm sure, knows somebody or is personally struggling and going through a difficult time. And it's very important, how are you? It's very important to have a relationship with Hashem, to grow with Hashem, to connect to Hashem, because without Hashem in our lives, it's impossible to succeed. It's impossible to know your purpose, and it's impossible to know why difficult things are happening. There's an idea in the young generation that since we're very accustomed to social media, quick dopamine, things happening fast, that we think that everything has to be going smooth, and if something is going wrong, then there's a problem. I'm coming here to tell you that that's not true. We learned that when a woman is giving birth and she bears a child for 9 months, there's extreme pains, and the most amount of pain is right before she gives birth. Then finally, the baby comes out, mazal tov. What is this teaching you? This is a mashal for life. There's extreme, extreme pain and extreme, extreme difficulty right before the good will come. And sometimes a person can ask himself, well, I go to shul every day, I keep Shabbat, I learn Torah, I talk to Hashem, but I don't feel it.
I don't feel it inside of my heart. I don't feel like I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I tell Hashem, I trust you, I believe in you, I believe that everything is happening from you. This guy Jonathan told me to trust you and to talk to you, but I'm talking to you and nothing's happening. I don't feel your presence in my day. I'm wearing tzitzit, I'm putting on a kippah, I'm going to shul, I'm trying my best. I'm genuinely trying to come closer to you, Hashem, and I don't feel it. That's what Rabbeinu Bachya writes, "Achar ha-ma'asim nimshach ha-levavot." After a person puts in the work, after a person puts in the action, then the heart's going to follow. And this is basically how Hashem created the world. Like we said before, "Vayhi erev, vayhi boker." First, Hashem created the night time. The Jewish day starts at night to teach us a very powerful concept. Tov ulhagid baboker chazdecha. In the morning, we're going to praise Hashem. V'emunatcha balelot. Our faith is tested in the nighttime. Our faith is tested when things are not going our way, when the stock's going down, when the crypto's going down, when the girls or boys, if you're going on a date, you're getting rejected, when your marriage isn't looking so pretty, when things are hard, when people get sick, lo aleinu, when difficult things are happening in the world, as we saw last year, October 7. Our faith for Hashem is tested when things are not going easy. And that's why we see the main principle of how God created the world is vayhi erev, vayhi boker. First there was night, there was darkness, there was difficulty, then there was the morning, the sun came out. It's very easy to put on a smile when you go to your friend's wedding or when you go to a party, an event, a brit milah. Everybody feels the happiness and the joy in the room. You could feel it. It's electric. It's impossible not to smile. I look at everyone's face in this room and it makes me happy, but there was a lot of oppression that went into actually creating the class, into doing it. Why? Because this is the peak moment. This is the class. This is the shiur. But what goes into it? Hours and hours of study. Hours and hours of preparation. Phone calls. Ordering food. Sarah's 10 making a mistake on our order. And many, many things to follow through. That just goes to show you a very fundamental concept. You know, a very special person started pushing me to go to Pray Netz every single morning, and Baruch Hashem, I've been going every morning for the past 7 weeks. And you know, the first day I was excited, second day, you know, the first couple days I was very excited. I started to notice after 3-4 days I'm not so excited anymore. So I'm like, Hashem, what's going on? Where's the excitement? And then I started to learn something very, very, very principal concept, which is exactly what's happening here. If you go to Netz, and then you go to learn, and then you go to work, and the whole day you're not feeling it, then you go to Mincha, then you go to RV, then you go to learn again, then you come home, you go to the gym, you exercise. If the whole 98% of the day was struggling, but then you come home and you feel a relief, like, ah, I was productive today, that's exactly what we're learning here. After a person goes and puts in the work and hustles and sweats and genuinely wants to get to a better place in their life from a pure, genuine heart, then the heart's going to follow. And then it's like, wow, I did it. I went through this day. And it's exactly like that for everybody in this room. If a person wants to become an entrepreneur and open a business, it's always hard in the beginning. It's never going to happen. I watched my father work for 15 years till he finally had made something. Every single business, when you start in the business world, you're always going to be in debt. It could sometimes take a year, two, even five to go into a net profit. And so we see in life that Hashem designed the world in a way where things have to be difficult before they get good. And it's the same thing for singles. I'm sure there's many singles in this room, right? When you're looking to get married, you have to understand that the reason why your soulmate is not in front of you right now is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'akevet hazman. God is delaying the time. Why? We don't know why. But we're going to learn in the Shara Bitachon that we have to trust Hashem. Maybe for the guys, maybe the wife you're destined to marry is in seminary and she's working on herself and she's not ready for you yet. Maybe for the girls the same thing. Maybe the guy is becoming a Baal Tshuva. Maybe the guy doesn't keep Shabbat. The girl does keep Shabbat. So Hashem is waiting for the guy to keep Shabbat so you could be on a more appropriate level so you won't have arguments and etc. But the one, I don't know what's happening and how God is running His world. But one thing I can tell you for sure is that all we have to do is to come closer to Hashem. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kirvat Elohim Li Tov. For me to get close to Hashem, that's good for my neshama. When I get close to Hashem, when I come from a genuine place to come and to try to grow and to come close to Hashem, and not to compare myself to other people, not to look on Collins Avenue, see all the Rolls Royces, the Bentleys, I don't even know what you call them, and the tall buildings, and think, well, I don't have an apartment in that building, and I'm not driving the Rolls Royce like that guy, and to feel bad about yourself. No, you get into your Toyota Highlander, and you put on the smile. Why? Because that's exactly where you're at. If you're meant to have the Rolls Royce one day, you're going to have the Rolls Royce. But stop looking at what everybody else is doing, and this is basically social media. I actually deleted Instagram off my phone. I have it on the second phone because of this exact reason. It's impossible to be in a giver mindset when we're constantly looking on social media and seeing what we don't have, looking at the world and seeing what we don't have. But when a person develops a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and you connect yourself to this eternal giving, to this eternal light, to this eternal end, it's a fountain of goodness. It's a fountain of patience. When you learn Torah, and or for women, if you push your husbands to go learn, because women are more spiritual than the men, we know that, right? By the way, for the women, if you don't know this, all of you are here to help the man fulfill his purpose. The woman comes to this world for the men to fulfill their purpose. So guys, married or when you're getting married, you better shape up and make them the happiest in the world, because they're here for you. But when a person connects to Hashem, which is this eternal giving, this eternal goodness, this patience, rachum v'chanun, erach apayim, rav chesed v'emen, otzeh chesed la'afin v'sevam, v'afesh v'chata, the 13 attributes of Hashem. And how do we connect to Hashem? By learning Torah. I once had the zchut to hear Rabbi Ada speak by the Kotel. I think I was telling this to someone recently. And he was saying a shiur right before Rosh Hashanah, and he was saying that when a person is praying or learning Torah, it's very important to look into the book and to look into the words. Why? Because when we look into the words, for some reason Hashem made it in that way, that when you look at the Hebrew letters and you read them and you say them, you're me'atzer kesher in borei olam. You're making a connection with Hashem, which is a very amazing thing. Now, to get to the Shah Bitachon, Baruch Hashem, I ordered, Hashem through me, ordered 40 copies, and we got like amazing, like 3-4 sponsors right away. So next week, everyone's going to be able to have a book in their hands. A quick introduction to what this class is. We're doing Shah Bitachon, which is the Gate of Trust, with commentary from one of my favorite rabbis of all time, Rav Avigdor Miller. Now, the reason why I bought 40 books, it looks like we might even need more, is because I want everyone to have a book in their hands and to actually, when I'm going to be reading from the Sefer, for everyone to say it themselves. Why? Because when we read the words of the Sefer, it's one thing, you know, there's a saying in Hebrew, I forgot how you say the saying in Hebrew, but I'll say it in English, that when the metal is hot, that's the time to form it. When it gets cold, you can't form it anymore. So if you go to like, if you ever see welding or you see people's gates outside their house, beautiful designs and etc., how did the design get to that place? Because once upon a time, the metal was hot, and then the welder was able to form it and to make it its destined shape or size, whatever you want to call it. It's the same exact thing with what we're doing here tonight. You can sit here and you can listen to me speak and get inspired, but when the metal's hot, it's the time to change. Because the inspiration will go down and we'll go back to basically what we're encapsulated and used to doing. That's why it's so important that everybody who comes to the classes and gets inspired to take upon yourself something small. Maybe start putting tefillin every day. If you're not going to a minyan, by the way, I'm not telling you go to minyan. Put tefillin 4 minutes a day. If you can't afford tefillin, I'll get it sponsored for you. For the women, the same exact thing. Start keeping Shabbat. It's hard for you to keep Shabbat. Keep 1 hour. Shabbat comes in at 6. Keep till 7. Use your phone. The sin's on me. I'm being very serious. Come closer to Hashem from where you're at. Because it's a heck of a lot better to come closer to Hashem slowly, piece by piece, small effort by small effort, and in 6 months to a year to see how far you've came, than to try to do everything at once and then to burn out and to do nothing and to get hard on yourself and to feel guilty and to feel bad and to stay exactly where you are. No, we're in this world to grow. We're in this world to come closer to Hashem, and that's why it's so important. Like we're saying, when the metal's hot, form it. Everybody in this room, after the shiur's going to be over, I hope you'll be inspired. If Hashem loves me, take upon yourself something small. Birkat Amazon, Asher Yatzar. Start saying thank you to Hashem throughout your day. Putting on tefillin, putting on tzitzit, maybe wearing a white shirt. I don't know, whatever it is. Lighting Shabbat candles for the women. Making a hafreshah challah with your friends. Making a WhatsApp Tehillim group. And everyone saying Tehillim for the hostages to come home. Amen. Whatever you can do to start coming closer to Hashem, do it. Now, before we start reading, I want to say that in 25 minutes exactly, we're going to open the floor for questions specifically. But if you have a question in the middle, you can ask it. I want to tell you all that there's probably 30, 40 people in this room. I look around this room and I see the potential of the Jewish people. I see the next upcoming generation of Jewish people. And I look around this room and my heart is gleaming with joy. And I'm so happy to see that this is the next generation of Am Yisrael sitting in this room. You might think that you just came to a class to listen, to learn. You don't know what you did. You made in Shamaim like openings of galaxies and stadiums of angels clapping and so happy because you guys decided tonight when you can go to, I don't know, a football game, a basketball game, to watch TV, to Netflix at home, whatever it is, you decided to come learn Torah. And for that, I'm very proud of you guys, but obviously I mean nothing. Hashem is very proud of you guys. And for that, I want you all to give yourself a round of applause. There's a verse that says, "Pitchuli petach shel machad veiftechu pitcho shel olam." Hashem is saying, open me the opening the size of a needle, and I'll open you the world. So your effort to come tonight, to get into the car, to look for parking, to park on this grass, which can sometimes even break your car, and to come into here, and to come and to have an effort, even if you leave tonight with nothing, Hashem is very proud of you. And unfortunately, I don't want to speak for anybody in this room, but I'm sure many can relate, I was robbed. We all went to a yeshiva where they told us, you're not good enough, you don't fit into this box, you're not this, you're not that. Everybody was robbed of their true identity, when in reality your potential is the entire world. You can do anything, and all you have to do is believe in yourself, not coming from an egotistical sense. Believe in yourself for the mere fact that God created you and woke you up this morning, and the testimony that God believes in you is the fact that you're breathing. Yes. Unfortunately, the yeshiva system today is that you have to be a certain type of a product. And if you're not going to fit into that specific product, many yeshivas are going to make the child feel not good enough, and it turns off the kids from religion. What I'm coming to say is that... Sorry?
That's psychologically damaging to the child.
That's exactly the point. Basically, what I'm coming to say is that every single person has their specific needs, and if a child needs a specific more attention than the other, then they should get that attention instead of getting kicked out of school and going on the streets and falling into whatever they fall into. Does that make sense? I don't mean to offend anybody. The whole idea is that our identity is that we're Jewish people. We have a chelek Eloki mima. We have a portion of God, which makes us godly, which makes us great. And no matter what anybody tells you, what any rabbi or representative of the religion is misinforming you, I'm telling you that you need to go straight to the Creator and to learn who you are. Because you are great, and you can have an amazing life. You can have a successful business. You can have a happy marriage. You can have a happy personal life. And you can do everything that you deem to do. All you have to do is follow the path of Hashem, and He's going to take you to the finish road. Is that more clear? Okay, Baruch Hashem. So now I want to start getting into the Shara Bitachon. I know that we had a little bit of an explosive intro, but Jonathan's in the mood today. So, and by the way, this really goes into everything in our lives. There's a pasuk that says, Yagata bematzata ta'amin. If a person worked hard for something and finally something came out of it, believe that it's real. Easy, easy come, easy go, as they say in America. If you make money too fast, it's gonna go fast because we're not prepared how to handle it. But a person that goes to work every day, gets up early, leaves the shop late, and works and hustles every single day, he appreciates the value of what's in front of him. And so too for a single looking to get married. If you're single for a very long time and you're looking, etc., when you finally come to your wife or to your husband, whatever it is, you're going to really learn how to appreciate them because it took so long without them and you live so long without them. That's why it's so important, by the way, for the singles, it's not a singles class, but it's so important to be happy while you're single. You know, there's a question, why is Masechet Gittin come before Kiddushin? Why does the tractate, the Gemara of getting divorced, come before the one of getting married? Because Hashem wants to teach you something amazing here. Before a person gets married, they have to learn how to divorce themselves. Now, I'm not married, but I can tell you, speaking to married people and etc., that when you're married, it's all about the other person. It's all about giving. And that's why it's so important to learn how to give to yourself now, to learn how to, and eventually, B'zrat Hashem, you learn how to give to another person. And it's so, and the most dangerous thing is to be in a place of atzvut, to be in a place of sadness, to be in a place of depression, etc. It's the most dangerous thing and can completely take a person out of this world. We're in this world to be happy. You know, tears opens up the gates, and happiness destroys the gates. We have to constantly put ourselves into a rhythm, to constantly put ourselves into a state of happiness, whether through listening to music, learning Torah, talking to a friend, going to play ball, whatever it is. Do what makes you happy. Pick a career that makes you happy. You know, when I was in yeshiva, my rabbi used to tell me, whether you decide to be a janitor or work on Wall Street, you're going to make exactly what you're meant to make. We said last year, there's a person that lives in Ramat Shlomo that every single year, before or after Kippur, he buys one stock, doesn't even look what it is, and the next year, he pulls out. If you really have trust trust in Hashem, you'll know that whatever career you pick, pick one that makes you happy, because Hashem is going to determine what you're meant to make. The money doesn't have to come specifically from the career. You can buy a lottery ticket, you can make money on a crypto or on a stock, whatever it is. But do what makes you happy, and don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. I'm not sure how this turned into a whole identity teaching speech, but I, for some reason Hashem put it in my mind, and I think it's really important to teach Jewish people what their value is, what they're worth, and that and nobody could take it away from you with their words, with their actions, with their belittling attempts, whatever it is. We all have a very high value, and we have to walk around all day knowing, you know, it says in the Igaret HaRamban that your eyes should be down, but your heart should be up. Many times we think in Judaism that in order to be humble or whatever it is, we have to put ourselves in the corner and not exist. It's not true. Humility is knowing your value but not having to show it off to the world. Humility is knowing that I am a son or daughter of a king. God is my father, which is the king, which makes me a prince or a princess. A prince or a princess carries themselves in a different way. A prince or a princess doesn't speak a certain way. It doesn't speak about other people, etc. I'm, of course, talking to myself. We all have our ups and downs. But we should really know that this world is temporary. And we have not that much time, 100, 120, 100 years, whatever it is. It flies by so quickly in the blink of an eye. And like it was saying in Mesiat Sharim, the Olam Hazeh Domeh Bifnei Pruz Dor LeOlam Haba. This world is compared like a hall, like to a hallway to the world to come. If I brought you guys to the back or to the studio and I said, "Hey, guy, David, in the studio there's a bunch of diamonds and gold and silver," and I told you you have 60 seconds in that studio to take as much as you can, you're gonna create holes in your pockets that don't even exist because you recognize the value of the diamonds because you can go and sell them and make a lot of money. But we come into this world and we waste time scrolling on social media, watching movies. I watch movies, I scroll on social media, I'm talking to myself. We all do things that we waste time doing when really it's taking us away from our true happiness, which is being close to our Creator. Because I once heard Rav Meir Eliyahu say in a speech, someone asked him a question, you know, how can Gemara compare to a movie? It's boring. You know, you watch a movie, Hollywood, Spider-Man shooting his web, Superman flying with his cape, Batman throwing his thing, whatever it is, and then you come to a piece of Gemara and it's boring. Of course, you know, society is very distracting and we waste a lot of time. I'm embarrassed to show everyone here my screen time, and that's why I eventually want to even get a flip phone. But we really have to understand that there's distractions all day. Why is there so many distractions? Because of how much potential we have. What is the biggest way that Hamas and all these pro-Palestinian idiot protesters were able to deactivate the Jewish people? Through fear. They instilled us with fear. We shouldn't go outside with a Magen David. We shouldn't go outside with a kippah, tzitzit. Why? Because they're going to scream at us or something about their misinformed nonsense. The truth is that the Jewish people are so powerful and on top of the world that the only thing that can hurt us is fear, because fear shuts off the human mind, doesn't allow it to operate properly, because we're supposed to operate through happiness, through joy, to come to Hashem through prayer and to learn and to be close to Him. But how can we do that when we're filled with fear? And that's why I picked to learn the Sefer of Shaar Bitachon, because that teaches us not to be scared of anybody and nothing except for Hashem. It says in Tehillim, "Bemit komemecha et katat." David HaMelech used to go, King David used to go to all the ministers and kings of the world, and he used to go preach the truth of God to all these people, to all these, you know, high-ranking people, etc., like going to Putin or Trump and talking about Hashem. Kim Jong-un, the guy has a bun that could destroy the world. He's talking about Hashem to the guy. Why? Because you recognize that he's nothing. He's an obstacle. He's an instrument being used in the hands of our Creator. When you're really close to Hashem, you're not scared of anybody. You're not scared to go on a date and to say your boundaries and your values. You're not scared to say the truth about how you feel. When a person's really glued to Hashem, you're not scared to come to your boss or to ask for a raise or to open up your own business because you know Hashem's going to help you. You're not scared to do anything. And it opens you up and enables you for extreme potential and success. Because remember, it's not about attracting in Judaism. It's about allowing. It's about allowing Hashem to give us more. Because our soul is already connected to God. He already loves us tremendously. And we're already automatically attracting. What do we have to do to allow Hashem to give us? How do we allow Hashem to give us? By opening the lid. No more victim mindset. No more "they did this to me." No. Everything good happens for you. And everything they did to you, they're doing to make you stronger. Why? We don't know specifically why God runs the world or why He sends people to tell us mean things. Sometimes it can even be in our family, our friends, our social group, our community, whatever that turns us off. It's not in our place to judge these people. It's actually an opportunity to judge them favorably, to thank them for what they did to us, because not only did they make us stronger, but they're allowing us measure for measure to have compassion and mercy upstairs when they're going to judge us. So you can really start to see that when a person lives with faith, he kind of elevates from the physical realm, goes into the spiritual realm, because when you're connected to Hashem in the right way, and you understand that nothing in this world is in fact easy, life is going to be hard, and people are going to try to put you down. Chacham Ovadia, the greatest scholar of the past generation, he wrote 40 books until finally someone started to recognize him. How many people did try to put him down? Even me. Many of you guys know me from the internet. You know how many times people put me down when I first started to make content? Oh, you're trying to make videos? What are you trying to do? People put me down, and I didn't care what they said. I just kept going for the dream. You know, yes, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm not trying to say that I'm successful or made it, whatever it was. I simply had a passion to inspire people and to share my message of truth and whatever it is to connect to people's hearts, right? And even when I was trying to do something that's so pure and so good, people were bashing me for it. How many dates did I go on where the girl was like, oh, you're too famous, or you're too, not even thinking properly. How many times did people try to judge me and say, oh, you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your own fame. I'm trying to glorify God's name. I'm the last person to do anything for myself, literally, to those who know me. And you just see now, you just see in life that, I'm sharing personal because it's relatable, but you just see in life that when you're trying to do something great, your fake friends are going to try to put you down, and your real friends are going to support you. And that's basically it. And I'm not trying to tell you to go and flip and become religious overnight. I have a friend, he'd be very upset if I said his name, but he when he first started to try to become religious and come closer to Hashem, you know, he used to go out with his boys. He used to go clubbing, and he didn't stop going clubbing. He told his friends, listen, when we go out from now on, don't try to make me hook up or don't try to make me drink or smoke. I'm just coming here to be with the boys. That's my boundary. And his friends were real friends, and they respected the boundary. So yes, he still went out to the club, whatever it was, but that's how he came closer to Hashem. And that, to me, like, you have to understand, it's a relationship. It's not about the finished product. Hashem wants to see your heart. He wants to see your intention. Because you have many people who pray three times a day and go to learn and everything, but they're doing it robotically. There's no motion there. And we actually see in the Shara Bitachon that someone who does that is cursed. We don't want to be robots. We want to be coming closer to Hashem genuinely from where we're at. Because Hashem is there with us at every moment of the day. And even if, like my friend who's married now with kids and became super religious, even him, he went to the club, but he had a boundary. Why? For Hashem. Because Hashem is everywhere and Hashem is with us. Now we're going to start. Nice intro, no? The role of hard work. Oh, you see this? By the way, we were saying last week how do you know what we're doing is right and divine? When we start to actually get into the Sefer, because Jonathan is distracting, we see that we're exactly speaking about hard work, which is the intro. And I didn't even prepare this. Now, when you study this, it's important to understand. And by the way, next week everyone's going to have a book, and you'll be able to look, to read, and to actually acquire it, make a kinyan for yourself through your speech. Very important. Another tip in getting closer to Hashem is that don't think things, say things. When you speak, you create a vessel. When you think, Rabot Machashavot Belevish, you think 10,000 things in 1 hour, I think 30,000 things. So we think a lot. We actually have to speak and create a vessel. So if you leave tonight and think, I want to get closer to Hashem, say Hashem, I want to get closer to you. Everyone, Hashem, I want to get closer to you. It feels better, no? Everyone's smiling. Okay. So when you study this, it's important to understand that we're studying bitachon now. By the way, bitachon is trusting in your heart that Hashem is with you throughout your day. And emunah is how you react to surprises. That's just the fundamental thing. Any questions? No? We're good. Baruch Hashem. Bitachon is faith, forward all issues to Hashem, and bitachon is bypass Instagram and TikTok and choose Hashem over nonsense. I made that one up. So bitachon is knowing in your heart that Hashem is with you throughout your day, trusting Him. Kind of like how a husband trusts his wife, that same trust inside of them, that they feel safe and secure, and they feel like they don't need to worry because they have a spouse, they have their, you know, your other half who's with you throughout life, through struggles and etc. And faith is basically how you react to a surprise. Chas v'shalom, a person hears bad news. You have to react to it, right? So it's automatically seeing that everything's happening for the best. Now, When a person starts to study bitachon, it doesn't mean that that's the entire picture. Because when you look in Mishle, you will see that a person must be energetic in pursuing his parnasah. This is going to be talking about livelihood. A person must be energetic in caring for his health. A person must be energetic in gaining a good reputation with other people. You just can't sit back and say Hashem will take care of everything. We have to do our part. Because He did not make the world that way. He wants you to participate. And I'll actually explain to you this with the mashal of how Hashem created the world. Imagine I came to one of you and I said, hey, I'm going to give you a job. What's the job? Sit in an office and I'm going to give you $1 million a day. Sounds great. Day goes by, you're getting $1 million. Zelle, 2 weeks, three weeks, a month, 2-3 months go by. Eventually, you're going to feel sick. You're going to go to the boss and say, can I do something for the money? I'm sitting in the office all day, sitting by the desk. Can I clean the table? Can I organize papers? Can I do fax? Can I do an Excel sheet for you? The boss says, no, nothing. Eventually, if a person receives so much good without having to work for it, they're gonna become sick. And that's why Hashem created the world in this way, because Hashem wants to reward us for the hard efforts that we put in. And that's basically the theme of tonight's class, where the light will come after the hard work is put in. And remember that the inspiration comes after the darkness. Just hold tight, trust Hashem, and I promise you everything's going to be okay. So a person can't sit back and take everything from Hashem because He did not make the world that way. He wants you to participate. A farmer can't say, I'll wait till Hashem causes my field to grow with wheat. The farmer has to plow, sow, and reap. There's work involved. It says 6 days. 6 days you're going to work. That means everybody has to work. And this is not only work in Parnassah to make a livelihood. It's working on yourself. You know, the Rabbi Salmi Salanter says that in order to fix one negative character trait, it's harder than learning all of Shas. How do you fix the character trait? By speaking to yourself and by speaking to Hashem and by saying, Hashem, let's say a person has an anger problem. Hashem, I don't want to be such a Moroccan all the time. Can you help me to calm down, whatever it is, to speak to yourself and to be aware when you make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, don't get so hard on yourself. Just keep going, keep moving. The worst thing the Yetzer Hara can do to a person is to make them depressed and to make them stop. A person needs to keep moving. A person needs to be busy. A person needs to go to shul, have a job, be busy with things, to have a flow. When you have too much free time, you go mishugana. So you can't just say, I'm going to go through a few motions to fulfill the mitzvah of showing that I'm working and I'll trust in Hashem. No, a person has to really work. It's an obligation on everybody. The Mishnah says, Torah study is good together with an occupation because the exertion of them both makes sin forgotten. This teaches that you should work at making a living and you have to learn Torah. However, there are cases where people can rely on Hashem for their livelihood because they are exceptional people. The Gemara says, there were many who did as Rabbi Ishmael, combining Torah study with a worldly occupation and were successful. Others tried to emulate Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai by devoting themselves to Torah study exclusively and were not successful. Of course, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai himself did succeed. We have to know the majority of firm Jews cannot rely on that. Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, wisest man to ever live, that if a person devotes too much time to sleeping and doesn't really work, poverty will come to visit him sooner or later. The moral is that if you don't work energetically to make a living, you're going to suffer from poverty. Hashem is not going to have pity on you because He told you that it's up to you to make a living. This principle is very important, but it's not what Chavot HaLevavot is referring to here. He's not trying to discourage you from plowing your field. He is saying that no matter what you do, you should understand that it's not you who's succeeding. So assume that you did plow your field and you worked hard and you became successful. You now look at your field and your heart is happy as you see a lush crop of grain waving in the wind. Don't think it's the result of your efforts. No, you think Hashem saying, blessed are you Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Chavot HaLevavot doesn't speak of the importance of working, but we have to know that we should not get a one-sided picture thinking that we can rely on Hashem and be free of the responsibilities of working to make a living. This reminds me that every single time we say the Birkat HaMazon, before we say a pasuk, Hazorim bedima beinai k'tzoru. A farmer who comes and plows the ground, he opens up the ground, puts in the seed, covers it up, waters it, comes in the fall, winter, spring, summer, all these 4 months, etc., four seasons throughout the year, in order to come and to give energy to that crop. After 7 long years of energy and effort, let's say an apple tree sprouts out of it, he takes the apple and he says, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Pri HaEtz. Nowadays, we go to the supermarket and we buy it so we don't appreciate it. But it takes a very long time in order for that apple to get onto that shelf or whatever it is. There's a lot of effort and toil and hard work. But it's not, and it's, again, it's not meant to discourage us from hard work. Hard work is a good thing. It's good to be busy. It's good to work hard. It's good for us. It's good for our soul. It's good for our mental health. It's good for us to be energetic people that are involved with society. society. And Bezrat Hashem, everybody should be blessed to work hard, to be contributors to this society, and to live happy, meaningful, fulfilling lives. That's really what we're here for. To be married, to have a lot of children, to be busy with raising them, to be busy with working, to be busy constantly. To be busy is a blessing. And even if a person is at a period in their time where they have free time, etc., try to make yourself as busy as you can. The more that a person's busy with doing Avodat Hashem, and toiling and sweating and etc., I can promise you, you're going to see miracles in your life, because it's not about going to work with a sad face and saying, "Ugh, I have to do this." We don't want to live in routine and to be scared of Monday. We want to be living in the moment and being happy. You know, the word in Hebrew to be besimcha, to be in happiness, has the same letters as the word machshia.
I have a question. So once I heard this concept that we all like the worldly people, they needed that will to do their
mission
in life. So isn't that the same for the poor people?
Say it again?
Doesn't that apply for the poor people as well?
What?
Like they need to be poor in order to fulfill their mission in life.
Yeah, some people are not meant to make a lot of money, but even if a person is poor, they can still be busy. Everybody can be busy. What? What? I'll tell you one thing, that even if a person is destined to poverty, if they pray enough, it says in the Zohar that if a person, in the same fashion that a person finding their soulmate is compared to the splitting of the sea, it's the same thing with Parnassah. If a person cries and prays to Hashem and doesn't give up on this dream that they want to become wealthy, even if they're destined to poverty, they're going to eventually make it and succeed big. Because Am Yisrael is Ma'ala Mazal. The nation of Israel is above Mazal, which is your horoscope or your destiny, whatever it is. And if a person really believes in it, then they're going to make it. But however, it's important to note that sometimes it's not good for a person to be rich, because for one person to be rich, they can give a lot of tzedakah and they can manage their wealth. For another person to be rich, they could use it in the wrong way and to put the money in the wrong places or whatever it is. So that's why it's very important that whenever a person's praying to Hashem, to say, "Hashem, give it to me if it's good for me. If it's good for me to be rich, then make me rich." You know, like a person doesn't need to beg to God. It's just ask. Say, "Hashem, if it's good for me to make this deal, then give it to me. If this is the right person that I'm dating and I should marry them, then let it be smooth, let it be easy," and etc. And of course, to work on ourselves and to make sure that we're not doing anything to show Hashem that we're not trustworthy to have this, you know, massive influx of income. That's where the trust comes in. That person needs to trust Hashem and to trust a mentor or a rabbi, and to understand that sometimes it's not good for a specific person to have a lot of wealth, because they might go to the wrong places. That's why usually the way it works in life, according to the Torah, of course, is that sometimes a person moves up slowly. Hashem will give you, let's say, 100,000, then two. Then it usually doesn't happen where a person becomes rich overnight. It happens slowly, slowly, because it's a relationship, it's a bond, it's a matter of trust. And the more that Hashem sees that He can trust you with what you have now, He's going to give you more, He's going to give you more, He's going to give you more. I think we said last week that, let's say you have Reuven and Shimon, Hashem has $200 to delegate, He gives $100 to Reuven and $100 to Shimon. Both of them use $80 to buy whatever they need. Reuven decides to use $20 to buy alcohol and or weed, whatever it is. And Shimon decides to use $10 to give to charity. And the other 10, let's say, he used to buy something nice for himself. Now Hashem is going to see that it's damaging for Reuven to get so much of this money next time, because he's going to use it to hurt himself. So Hashem is going to take that 10 or that 20, whatever it is, and give it to Shimon next time. So next time Hashem has 200 to distribute, He'll give 120 to Shimon and 80 to Reuven. Does that make sense? More so, to explain it in a simple context, the more that we get closer to Hashem by taking care of our body, by taking care of our physical, our spiritual, our mental, our emotional, our well-being, etc., the more that we take care of ourselves and we become steady, consistent, stable people, structured, etc., that is showing Hashem that He can trust us with more and more and more. We just have to work on ourselves. We don't have to go and run and look, buy this person's course, get that degree. It's more so of an inner work. The more that we have an inner work and we raise our spiritual level and get closer to Hashem in doing so, that's where Hashem's going to see that I can give this person more. If that's clear. Any questions? Yeah.
I don't know if there's one exact answer for this, but it's something I've been thinking for a while. if Hashem has a plan, well, with everyone having a plan from Hashem, and there's also free will, are the decisions from our own free will also part of the plan as well? How does that balance work?
You're saying if something happens to us right now, is it our free will or what Hashem wants to happen?
No, like what's the, like our choices, our specific choices in relation to Hashem's plan? What's
right.
that? Is, are like the choices of free will part of his plan also? I don't know how he's saying it.
No, it's a very good question. I once asked this question to my rabbi and he explained to me that, you ever heard of the term Mina Shamayim? There's like a term Mina Shamayim, like people say like, oh, it was Mina Shamayim, it was from heaven, it was from God. So my rabbi explained to me what this means in a very deep way, and I hope it'll answer your question if Hashem just gave it to me now. She's asking that how does a person know when they have a decision to make? Is it their free will happening or is it what Hashem wants to happen? How do you differentiate the two, right? So basically, let's say a person prays to Hashem, Hashem, I want to get married. Now Hashem's going to send you, let's say Hashem's going to send a guy or girl to go out with. What happens? He goes on the date, doesn't open the door, doesn't pay for the bill, doesn't open her chair. You guys had this experience. a person's going to see this and now the girl's going to reject him and tell the matchmaker or whatever it is, I don't want to continue going out with you. A person can't go to Hashem and say, oh, that was Mina Shamayim. No, Hashem wants you to get married. That's why he sent you that girl to go out with. Now that that girl's in front of you, you have the free will in order to make the right choice. That's one way of understanding it. But if with whatever choices we have to make in front of us, we're expected, because God has a high expectation of us, but at the same time, He understands if we make mistakes, and obviously we all make mistakes all day long, and we're supposed to fail, or we're supposed to fail hard and to fail often. If a person makes mistakes with the decision they have in front of them, it's very important to understand that with whatever obstacle you have in front of you, business, relationship, etc., you have to do your best to make the right choice with what you know, and I guess you could say the mentors around you, your parents, whoever you speak to for advice, to speak to people, and to do your best to make the right choice. And that's what's expected of you. If you find out after you made a choice that, oh, if I knew what I know now, I would have done this back then, that's not Mina Shamayim. Mina Shamayim is that with whatever is in front of me right now, I need to make the best choice that I can with what I know and what I have. God is not expecting you to do more than you need to do. You just need to do the basic hishtadlut, the basic effort, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll go down the right path. Does that answer? You could say if not, I could try to get it.
I don't know if I'm understanding it, but I feel like my question is kind of confusing, like the way I said it.
You're saying a person has free will to make a choice, bad or good, let's say, but then at the same time, God is running the world. So how do I know if my free will aligns with God's will? It's very simple. With everything I know, I try to make the right choice. And if I happen to find out later that it wasn't the right choice, I try to do it from a good place. And it happens to be that now I know better, so next time I'll just do better. 100%. Wherever we are right now is exactly where we're meant to be. You can't say, oh, well, if I knew this, or if I felt differently back then, or if I would have bought Bitcoin in 2005, you can't do that. A person needs to do their best with exactly where they're at, and to understand, like we said in the beginning of the class, Baruch Kevod Hashem Yimekomo. Hashem wants us to get close to Him, to praise Him, to bless Him from exactly where we're at, and exactly where we're at is exactly where we're meant to be. You know that there's a verse that says, "Ume'az yatzam matok." Sometimes after a difficult period, after a lot of struggles and etc., it's going to always turn out to be sweet. Because Hashem wants us to enjoy. But sometimes He just wants to test our faith to see, are we with Him or are we not? And that's really the whole entire creation, this world, etc., jam-packed into a little understanding where everything is happening for the best. We need to put in our work to do our best with what we know now and with what we have in front of us, and etc. And to leave the outcome to Hashem. I do my best, Hashem, the outcome is on you. And that way we can sleep at night knowing that we did our best. And if we don't do our best, it's something else. That's laziness. But if a person genuinely puts in their full effort, the outcome is in Hashem's hands. Like, let's say you could be dating a person, you do your best, but it doesn't work out. That's not your fault. You did your best. And but I made mistakes. Don't get hard on yourself. You can't say, if I knew what I know now, back then, it would have worked out. God's running the show. Very, very simple. And God knows exactly what He's doing. We just have to do our best and to know our role. We're not supposed to run the world. We're supposed to live in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. we're going overboard. I wanted to continue, but I guess I'll open up for questions if anyone wants to ask anything. Yeah.
You mentioned that when we're praying with the Siddur, we're reading the words, the Hebrew, and it's connecting to Shemayim. If you're reading only in English, you're also connecting because...
100%. Hashem understands every single language. It's very hard.
There's so many rules and also when you get married, there's like that and like so many things. So it's how do you deal with love and happiness, but it's also living with the hardships kind of, not maybe not every day, but maybe like one thing a week is something a little harder, or like you're missing out, or you feel like you're not happy with what you're doing, but you're trying to be happy with it, or like kind of finding that like happy medium, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it's an amazing, amazing question. I'm sure everyone in this room feels the same exact way. It's very important to understand that with Hashem, it's a relationship. Just like in a marriage, how sometimes you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs, but in your heart, you know that you love that person. You know that you're trying to do everything for the best with them. And of course, yes, it comes Shabbat, Friday night, finally the week is over. You're able to really enjoy with your spouse. It's the same thing with the relationship with Hashem. Hashem doesn't want us to be perfect robots doing every single thing to the exact T. We have to do our best. And obviously some things are more strict than the other, but a person has to come closer to Hashem slowly and work from where they're at. Like I was saying before, if a person doesn't keep Shabbat, let's say, keep 1 hour, and the next week keep an hour and a half, and the next week in 2 hours. It's very important to do the mitzvah from a place of love. It's the highest level to do it from a place of love. Yes, we know fear is a motivator, but fear, from what I've seen in this generation, motivating people through fear and telling them that if they're not going to do everything, they're going to go to hell. They're going to tell themselves, okay, well, I'm going to go to hell anyway, so I'll just do whatever I want. It's very important to do things with your heart and to actually build a relationship. You know, even though if you open up a siddur composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, which is the tzaddikim of a couple generations ago, that they compose the beautiful tefillah, etc., the most powerful form of prayer is to actually speak to Hashem in our own words, to speak to Hashem from where we're at, and to say, Hashem, I really want to come closer to you, but this is hard for me, so I don't know if I can even do it right now, but I'm trying. Give me the, to pray to Hashem, I say, Hashem, give me the motivation, give me the want to keep, let's say, Tahat Mishpacha Nida, give me the want to go to the mikveh, because when we really pray to Hashem and ask Him for that motivation, ask Him for that feeling, and etc., but then at the same time, we have to also understand that life is not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. Everybody sometimes wakes up and is just not feeling it. Sometimes we're just not having a good day, and that's part of the process. That's part of the showing Hashem in the relationship that you're consistent and that you're there. You know, like let's say for a man, it could be very hard to pray three times a day in the minyan because sometimes you're not in the mood to pray. But just the mere fact that you show up to the shul and that you're there and you're trying, that's already everything to God. Because it's not about, we don't always have to be doing, of course we want to get to a level and it's possible to do everything besimcha. The more that you detach from the physical world is the more that the spiritual world is able to fill up the void. So eventually, with time and with commitment and with dedication and coming closer to Hashem, I believe it's possible to be happy throughout the day, because I would say that I am for the most part. But at the same time, I would say that we're not always going to feel it. You know, even me, sometimes I'm not feeling it. But I know in my heart that really deep down I'm happy, and it's just a mood and it's going to pass. It's like a stock market, you know, sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. We're not always going to be feeling it. The inspiration comes, the good moods come, whatever it is. But part of the relationship with Hashem is doing things when we're not feeling like doing it. Because that shows Him that, oh, even when my son doesn't want to go to pray, he goes to the minyan. Even when he's not in the mood to go to the shiur, he goes. 9 times out of 10, I'm sure the guys could testify, when you go specifically when you don't want to, when it's over, you feel amazing. That's just how it is. Or even sometimes if it's hard to keep Shabbat, but when Shabbat ends, you're like, wow, I actually kept it. I did it. And it's the same thing. And it's also part of your question is to actually trust Hashem that the commandments that He's giving us in the Torah is actually good for us. If there was no, like you said, nida, right? If there was no nida in a marriage, the divorce rates would be through the roof. But if you look in the religious Orthodox communities, the divorce percentages are very low. Because when you have too much light, it burns you. But when you have 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, she gives birth, I think you have 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks off. When you have this on and off period, it makes it, like it says in the Gemara, that when a person comes and is with his wife after the Nida cycle, it's like he was with her for the first time after his wedding night. So it's very, all these rules are there to benefit us. It's like, imagine I bring you to, Fuego, and I give you the same Fuego dinner every night, steak, steak, steak. Eventually you're going to get sick of it. The first day it's amazing, the second day it's good. The third day it's like, okay, I want to get a pizza. If we have the same, you know, peak amazing experience every single day with no off, then we're not going to enjoy it. But if I take you once a month to Fuego, you're going to really appreciate that dinner. And it's the same thing with Nida, and it's the same thing really with everything in Judaism. We didn't write the Torah, Hashem created it, Hashem created the commandments, and we have to do our best. I'm not saying people have to be perfect. Everyone comes from their background. Everyone comes with their ideas. Everyone comes with their thoughts and etc. And we have to really do our best to slowly, slowly take out everything that we've been taught and that we've learned, and to slowly, slowly drip in Hashem. And I'll explain what I mean. If I had a cup in oil and water, I would show you. The Yetzer Hara is compared to oil, and the Torah is compared to water. So if you take a cup and you fill it with water and oil, you're going to notice that the water is going to seep to the bottom and the oil is going to be on the top. The same way where oil can seep into our clothing, the only way to remove oil from a stain, whatever it is to use water. Because water is the Torah and water cleans it out. Now, if you fill a cup with oil and you start to pour water, you're going to see the water is going to continue seeping to the bottom, to the point where eventually the oil will completely leave the cup and will spill out, and the water will take the position of the oil. What is this teaching us? Again, water is Torah, oil is Yetzer Hara. It's teaching us that we have to live a life of coming closer to Hashem. You know, many times I can think to myself when I'm in the car, let's say, and I only have a 3-minute drive, oh, I'll listen to music instead of listening to a shiur. It's not true. Every piece of Torah that you hear, every positive conversation you have with someone, every little effort that you make, and etc. I'm not telling anyone not to listen to music. I'm saying for myself, it's something I want to work on to eventually listen to shiurim throughout the day and not always listen to music or whatever it is. But that's just a personal thing. But every effort that we put in to put in Hashem, to put in words of chizuk, to put in words of inspiration, that's taking out the oil. And you're going to notice through time that the more and more that you try to fill your life with God and to fill your life with Torah and Hashem and etc., eventually, through time, you're going to become a happy person. And you're going to be fulfilling the mitzvot from a place of happiness and a place of love. Because you worked on it. It didn't come to you overnight. You put in the work and you worked on it. I can't believe I'm saying this publicly. But you can ask people that know me. I think he left. But, what? Yeah.
Can I add to whatever?
Sure, yeah.
You can do whatever is comfortable for you. Whatever is good for you. Whatever you appreciate.
Yeah, 100%. You know, every year on Rosh Hashanah, there's three categories of people. There's a Rasha, there's a Tzaddik, and there's a Benoni, right? There's a righteous person, there's a person that's in the middle, and there's a person that's considered a Rasha. So there's a question, how do I know which category I fit into? So it's compared to the psychology of a person that goes on a diet. If you go on a diet and you want to, let's say, lose weight, let's say a person wants to lose 20 pounds, so you go on a diet and a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, and now you come home and your mom makes an amazing, like your favorite apple pie or your favorite cheesecake. In that moment, you're tested to see, do I really want to lose this weight or do I not? If you eat the cheesecake, then you see you're not so serious about losing weight. And it's exactly what is how Hashem wants to see where our efforts are. Sometimes in life, we're going to try to, in a way, to grow and to take upon ourselves things, and Hashem is going to test us throughout that journey. It's not about where we are or the complete product. It's about the effort that we're putting in to get to the final destination. So the small efforts to not eat the cheesecake, kavyachol, is showing our Creator that we really want to be close to Him. I hope that answers your question. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
What do you say if Shalom, if everything is from Hashem and He runs the world?
Say it again?
What do you say if Shalom, if everything is from Hashem and He runs the world?
Because our mouths are very powerful, and when we speak, we can actually create harm to come our way or good to come our way. That's why it's very important to always speak positively, because if you say something where you're going to say Chas v'Shalom after, you're in a way canceling it out because you don't want that thing to happen. But the fact that you spoke it can actually speak itself into existence. That's why if a person says, oh, I'm never going to, let's say, be rich, you say Chas v'Shalom. Why would you say that? Because that can actually come true. You can actually open up your mouth, say something, and have a decree upon you. But the opposite, a person can be poor and to say, if Hashem wants, I'm going to be rich and I got this, that positive speech is actually creating positivity to come and to come to you. Because our mouths of Jewish people, we have a lot of power with our speech. The Chafetz Chaim says in the Sefer of Shmirat HaLashon that a person's speech has the power to completely change a person's self-esteem or a person's self-confidence. A person's self-esteem, it's malleable, it's bound to change. If you say nice things to yourself and people tell you nice things, you're going to feel good about yourself. But that same speech that can build a person can also destroy a person. So we have to understand that we have a lot of power with our mouth, and we have to be very careful with the things that we say, because it can completely ruin a person or it can completely change a person's life and make them feel like a million bucks. Yeah.
Why do we sometimes allow for our hearts or our eyes to, when all that's going on, the phrase prayer, I always want to pray with connection. My entire body is that I'm praying with connection. I don't want to pray, so I look in and I don't open the prayer book, but there's like such an importance to that, and I don't go and do it. How do I go and do it when I feel like I'm a robot sometimes, and that freaks me out?
I don't know you personally, but what I can tell you is that your prayer is so powerful, it can actually change worlds upon worlds upon worlds. That's why it's so hard for you. Because if your prayer wasn't worth anything, it wouldn't be hard for you. The fact that you have so much difficulty to open up your mouth should show you that you're a very special person, and that when you do actually get the words and it comes out and it's flowing, things are going to start changing. You heard that, guys? But does that make sense? Usually when there's a lot of oppression, a lot of a resistance, it means that there's something good waiting for you. On the flip side of opposition is growth. So it's not to get discouraged. It's to say, Hashem, my words are pretty powerful, it seems like. So can you please help me open up my mouth and pray? So yeah, you see, it's that same exact thing. I'm sure anyone in this room could apply it to something that they're going through. Don't take that difficulty and see it as like, it's putting me down. No, think in the positive way. Train yourself to think positively. Why is it so hard for me to keep Shabbat? Because if I keep Shabbat, it's going to change my life. Why is it so hard for me to pray? Because if I pray, it's going to actually do something. Why is it so hard for me to A, B, and C? It usually means that we have a very high value, and that's why things are difficult for us, because when we actually get to the level of doing them, you have to understand that the Yetzirah doesn't want a person to grow, and it doesn't want a person to grow and to come closer and to pray, etc. And he knows the value of what we can do. So that's why he's going to try everything he can to shut us off and to make us depressed and to make us think we're not worth it. That's why I'm here telling you that's not true. Tell him to go away and go pray to Hashem and try your best. And even if you have nothing to say, say, Hashem, I have nothing to say to you right now. And that's That could be 10 times better than another person's 2 hours of Yidbor Edu. It's not about, like we don't know our value, we don't know our worth, etc. For one person to learn 10 hours could be equivalent to one person to learn 5 minutes. For one person to pray nets in the minyan could be the equivalent of one person to put on tefillin for 4 minutes, or to put it on even once in a blue moon when the Chabad guy comes to him. Lefum tzara agra, the Mishnah says, according to the difficulty is according to the reward. That's why Hashem wants us to come closer to from where we're at. Hashem, we want Mashiach to come. It's one of the 13 principles that we want Him to come. When Mashiach comes, it's not supposed to be, okay, the Sephardic here, the Ashkenaz there, Moroccans on that corner. No, Hashem wants us to all come together. You know, like you see, one of the most amazing things that happened after October 7th is all the unity that happened in Am Yisrael. There's a verse that says, "Bechinam nimkartem velo bekesef tigaelu." For free, we sold ourselves to the Yetzirah through sinat chinam, through baseless hatred. And it's not mitzvot, which is kesef, which is represents money, that's not going to save us. How do we bring the geulah to Am Yisrael? How do we end world suffering and whatnot? But we take that same chinam, which is sinat chinam, and we flip it to ahavat chinam. When we come to Hashem and say, okay, my brother here has tattoos and piercings, and my other brother has payas and whatnot, we're all Jews, we're all together, we're all one nation. I went to Uman this year, and I went to the mikveh, and I almost started crying. I saw people in the mikveh, one guy has tattoos, one guy has payas, we're all there together, we're all there to come and to come closer to Hashem. And like I was saying in the beginning, it's society that takes away our true knowledge of our identity, of ourselves. Really, we can do anything, and we're all meant to be together and to be in harmony. And the only thing that divides us is ourselves. God doesn't want us to be divided. And slowly that we're going to give these classes and come closer to Hashem, that we're really going to make an impact on the world. The 30, 40, 50 people in this room, you can all go home and say one positive thing to another person. You can start a chain reaction which can change the entire world. Any other questions? Yeah.
I want to bring it to something you said in a previous class. You mentioned, and so you're talking about hard work. You said earlier in another class, basically, if Hashem didn't love you, He'd just give you everything you wanted, or everything you think you wanted, like make it easy. The reason that He loves you is because He's putting you through hard things. Can you talk a little about that?
Yeah, I compared it to if you have a daughter that goes out late, and the parents constantly call her and tell her to come home. She's going to feel that pressure from her parents because they love her and they want her to come home and not to be out late because bad things happen that late at night. Now imagine this same girl, she goes out, she starts going out late, she's going out late and her parents stop calling her. She's going to say, wait, where'd all that pressure go? It's the same thing in life. When a person feels that pressure in their life, and when a person feels that things are tough and the tough gets going and whatnot and the going gets tough, it's a very good indicator that Hashem loves you tremendously. If things are really excruciatingly difficult in your life, it's a very, very good sign. The moment that things start flowing and everything's coming to you very easily, we could talk about it later. It could be hashgacha pratit, it could be a bad thing, but I'm sure things are hard for everybody in this room, and it's a very good sign. Don't get discouraged by the difficulty, because you create diamonds, you mold diamonds through pressure. Remember, the diamond is the most precious gem, and how do you create it? Through pressure. The same thing with us. Hashem wants to really squeeze the potential out of us and for us to be our best selves. Because remember, we can sit and we can imagine what's the best Jonathan that I could be, or what's the best David that I could be, or what's the best, I don't know, Sarah that I could be. We can think and we can envision it, but Hashem can see so much more. And that's why the closer that we get to Hashem and we expand our consciousness, we're going to be able to see and to envision more for ourselves. And really, the potential is endless, and we can never stop growing. The minute that we stop growing is the second that we stop believing in ourselves. That's why we have to never stop believing in ourselves, to always recognize that the potential is endless. And all I have to do is to come closer to Hashem slowly. My one struggle to a person's one struggle to walk to shul, to go pray mincha, to drive, to look for parking, that's creating, you don't even know what, in Shamayim. So put in the effort. It's going to be hard. It's supposed to be hard, but it's making you a better person. It's making you a softer, gentler, calmer person. And most importantly, it's getting you closer to Hashem. And that's the most important thing in this world. The closer that we get to food, to materialism, to physicality, it makes us sad people because that has no end. The closer to we get to the Ensof, to the endless, which is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the happier we become because we're connecting to the endless. Materialism ends. How much can I eat? How much can I drive a nice car? How much can I have a big house? How much can I have a physicality? It never ends. The Gemara says, a person wants 100, he wants 200, wants 2, wants 4, 4, 8, 8, 6, doesn't stop. But with Ruchniut, a person can live. I have an uncle. You guys want to hear something funny? I have an uncle that he has He has 9 children, and after his first 8, he had 8 girls in a row, and my dad made a joke that if he's going to have a girl again, he should name her Tisha B'Av. But in the end, he didn't give up. He prayed. He went to all the big rabbis in Israel. He went to Nahariya, to, I think, of Abu Chatzera, whatever, if I'm not mistaken. And finally, after 8 beautiful girls, which are my cousins, he finally had a baby boy. And he lives in Bnei Brak. He lives in a small house, and he's the happiest person in the world. He goes to the mikveh every morning, learns the whole day, goes to work, busy the whole day. He has a big van for all the kids to fit in it. And I can guarantee you he's happier than Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or one of these people that people look up to. Obviously, you can learn from them how Amazon started its small steps and how the same thing with Tesla, how there was ups and downs in the company. You can learn good things from that. But that shouldn't be the goal. The goal should be to be connected to Hashem and to be happy. Because you see, like my uncle and many other people in Israel that don't even have ends meet, but they're the happiest people in the world. But then you have the Chilanim in Tel Aviv that are miserable eating shrimp on Yom Kippur. So you see that when you're close to Hashem and when you're trying to, and you're doing the right things and you're connecting to learning Torah and etc., it makes you a better person. It literally says in the Gemara, by the way, in Masechet Kiddushin on Daf Lamed Amud Bet, page 30b. If I had a Gemara, I'd show you. I have one in my car. If you want, I'll show you. It says Barati Yetzara, Barati Torah Tavlin. Hashem created the evil inclination. He created this depression, this sadness, this heaviness. And he created the cure, he created the joy, he created the happiness, which is the Torah. When we sacrifice to learn, it's not easy to learn, by the way. It's actually hard work to sit and to learn and to crunch your brain. It's not easy stuff. But when we learn and we acquire it, that's when the joy comes. And I hope that answers your question. Any other questions? No more questions. Okay, so no more questions? Okay. Thank you so much for everyone for coming tonight. It's been a tremendous honor and my honor to be here, and I hope to do something good. I hope to see everyone next week. And like I said, next week we're going to have the books to give out, and B'rat Hashem, we're going to go forward in the Sefer, and maybe I'll even give you guys some homework. The whole idea behind this class was, besides to just come and to share and exchange Torah ideas and thoughts, I really want you guys to acquire this. When we're going to finish this book, we're going to make a massive siyum. And I want everyone to be able to say, I studied and went through Shara Bitachon. It took a year, it took whatever it is, of coming every Monday and going through the Sefer, but I did it. And when we're going to finish this book, we're going to do another one. We're going to actually acquire Torah. And we're going to be able to say, wow. And that's going to give you guys a lot of confidence in yourselves that, wow, look, I actually acquired this. It wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. And it's going to open up the door to do many more things and to learn many more Sfarim. And to slowly, slowly come closer to Hashem. And may Hashem bless us all that we should come closer to Him and to be happy and to be satisfied. And as the saying goes, my name is Jonathan Ben Shimol and I approve this message. Can anyone say Kaddish? Anyone can say Kaddish? Anyone? Can you say Kaddish? No? Okay. Chazak Baruch, everyone.